So this morning, I want to read a portion of scripture to you. We're going to be talking to you about repentance this morning. You know, we're continuing in our essentials series that we've been going through, and just different essentials, you know, things that are like core beliefs of the Christian doctrine that people should know. And some people say, well, I've heard this before. I've been through this. But the thing is, it's always good to go back through those essentials, because sometimes we can hear different things, or hear those things. But over the past 2 weeks, we've been going through this essential series, and we've talked about true biblical Christianity, of what and seen how modern Christianity has kind of muddied the waters on how simple, for one thing, salvation is. Salvation is a simple thing, and we make it more difficult than what it has to be. You know, it's like we almost don't say, yes, you can get a TV station, and this is gonna tell you how old I am, all right, when I say this. This is like when we tell them, okay, yeah, just go turn on the TV, turn to a station, we're good, all right? And you're all good. But then we say, no, you're not quite there yet. You need to stand on one foot with your tongue hanging out, touch the antenna, and make sure you get reception enough. We add a whole lot more onto it than just turning on the TV. And that's the whole thing is that salvation is simple. It's a simple thing. The Bible says, you know, they asked them, said, what must we do to be saved? The Bible says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's putting your full faith and your trust in Him. And so last week we saw that water baptism doesn't save you. It's symbolic. It identifies you with Jesus to those around you. Basically, it's an outward expression of what Jesus did inside of you. Well, how Jesus changed you, you're telling everybody, I'm going to live for Him. I'm identifying as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. This week we're going to look at how the waters are muddied once again with repentance. All right? And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be kind of jumping around a little bit. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 32. And we want Scripture to define Scripture. We don't want what everybody else has defined, you know, a word to be, because we know nowadays that if you say it loud enough, you say it long enough, and you whine enough, you can change the meaning of a word. I mean, think about all the words that has changed over the past 20 years. The word love has changed. The word gay has changed. That didn't mean the same. Some people are like, what are you talking about? No, it used to just mean happy. That's all it meant. And then they've changed it. So people will sit there and they will change words so they can fit their agenda, so they can fit whatever they want to do. And so, like I said, we're going to define the word repentance or repent with what Scripture says, not with what the world says. So in Exodus chapter 32, starting at verse 12, it says this, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for the mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Now listen to this verse. Turn from thy fierce wrath, comma. So he's going to tell you what it means, what he's saying, why he's turning. It says, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will give unto you your seed. And again, he's going to say it again here. And they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord said, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So we see just in that one verse, it says, turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. What does the word repent mean? He gives it to you. It says it right there. It says, turn. That's simply what it means. Turn from. Turn from, turn to. That's it. Any part of that so far, say, of sin? No. Because here's the thing is, it's talking about the Lord here. It's saying the fact that the Lord repented. The Lord changed his mind. The Lord turned from evil. From the evil that he said that he was going to do to them because of what they were going to do. And so that's what we need to realize. And so he wants, I'm sorry, the Lord didn't repent in this verse. I'm going to get to those here in a moment. He wants the people to repent, to turn from what they're doing, so he doesn't have to do the fierce wrath that he wants to put upon them. So it's a turning. We often hear that we need to repent of our sins in order to be saved. How many of you have ever heard, you need to repent of your sins to be saved? I've heard it. I know I've heard it. But that phrase, that term, does not appear in Scripture at all. It never appears in Scripture in relation to receiving the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It never does. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32. This is where we see God repenting, and this is the reason why we can't use the same definition of what people say. People say, well, whenever you see the word repent, it means to turn from your sins. It can't mean that. Because throughout Scripture, you'll see God repenting. Namely, actually, there's 35 times in Scripture where it says God repented. So are we saying that every time that repentance is used or repent is used, that God is repenting of his sins? We know that's not true because God does not sin. He's not evil. He has nothing to repent of. It's a turning. It's a changing. All right? And so in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 35, it says, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." He changed his mind. He's like, you know what? He's like, you know what? Because he's the one who appointed Saul in the first place. It wasn't the fact of Samuel saying, "Hey, here's a guy right over here." No, he said, "There's the man." God said, "There's the man that I want as king over Israel." And he says, "You know what? I've changed my mind now because of what Saul has done to the people around there." The word, like I said, the word repent does not mean to turn from your sins, but it simply means to turn from or to change your mind. Why? Like I said, for one thing, if it means to turn from your sins, that means that God sins, and we know that God is sinless and that he cannot sin. He cannot sin. We know this. Now, here's the other thing is, did you know that the Bible speaks of bad repentance? There's a good repentance and there's a bad repentance. You know that, right? Because all it means is to turn or to change. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, and it says this, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God let them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." The people did not listen. They changed their mind. God told them to do one thing and they repented, or they turned and did another. That's bad repentance. You want to repent of what God wants you to repent of, right? And so that's an example of bad repentance. And so what we're going to look at right now is that there, like I said, there's good repentance and bad repentance, and that we repent of evil, that we can repent of evil things, or we can do the opposite. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the common verses that people will use to prove that a person must repent of their sins in order to be saved, and we're going to see if they hold true. All right? One of the most common ones they'll go to is Acts chapter 17, verse 30. I'll read that one verse, but I want you to see the context, because remember, you must have a context so that way you don't get a pretext for the false teaching that is to be learned. So we need to have the context. So Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says this, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And that's what everybody says. They say, well, right there it says he's calling everybody to repent. That's it. But look at the beginning part of that says, "And the times of this ignorance." What's the ignorance he's speaking of? Let's start at verse 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscriptions to an unknown God, whom ye therefore ye ignorantly worship. him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and to breath and all things, and hath made one blood all nations of God for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before and the bounds of their habitation. Now note that one part, I'm just going to make a little side note, it says, and hath made what? One blood of all nations of all men. Side note is that, you know what? God made everybody's skin color a wide variety. That we're all one blood. We're all of one nation. That's the thing. We have this whole thing going on nowadays of saying one race is worse than the other and all sorts of stuff. Here's the thing it's impossible to be racist because we're all human, we're all the human race. So basically we have a colorism going on right now. Like, I don't like you because your color is different than mine. And that's dumb and stupid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry but not sorry, because that's all this stuff is that we are one blood of one nation. God made everybody in his image. Amen? All right, back from my rabbit trail. That they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Here's the verse that goes with it. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What is he telling them to repent of? The false religion, their false belief, the false gods that they were following. I mean, it says it right there in the top part. It says that ye are too superstitious, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, they're worshiping these things. This is their devotion. I mean, we always say that we have devotions in the morning, right? Or at evening, we always have time with the Lord. They're devoting, they're worshiping the Lord. It says, I found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. It says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worshipped. He is telling them, and even further on down, he's saying that you're worshiping idols of gold, silver, stone, graven art, man's device. He is telling them that they are to repent of this false belief, this false worship that they are having. All right? And so it's not the fact that they're repenting, they're like, oh, he's repenting of their sins. He's telling them, because here's the reason why. It is impossible to worship Jesus Christ when you have other religions in your life. Because obviously from the fact that it says to an unknown God, and it says I see an altar, they have all these other ones. So what they would have done, if he does not tell them to turn away from that, they would have added Jesus along with all the other false gods that they had. That's why he's telling them that you need to turn away from these things. Why? And that's the reason why when you go out soul winning, if they're a Mormon, you got to tell them to turn away from that. You can't just add Jesus, a little bit more Jesus, because they have a false Jesus, but then they added, you can't tell them to do that. Or, Islam, you can't tell them to all of a sudden stop believing. You got to tell them to stop believing in Muhammad and Allah and all that. They have to renounce it. Buddhism, Catholicism, all these things. Why? Because of the fact that all they're going to do is add another god onto that one. They're just going to take Jesus and say, it's impossible to worship the Lord that way. Like I said, so why didn't Paul just tell them to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, like the other verses have said? Because they were polytheistic, they believed in many false gods, and they would have just added them on there. He says, you know what, you need to turn away from your false gods. All right? Repenting of false religions, like I said, is because it's impossible to believe in Jesus Christ if you're believing in something different. We need to believe in Christ alone. All right? But nowhere in there does it say repent of your sins. He's saying repent of your false religions, your false gods. But here's another question we have to ask before we go a little bit further. If we must repent of our sins to be saved, then which sins do we need to repent of? And most likely, it's the sins that we don't struggle with or have very, very little struggle with. That's what we ask ourselves. We say, I need to repent of those sins that I don't have a problem with. What sins are they? The Bible never says, you must repent of this sin in order to be, which ones? All right? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That right there, you know, shows us, you know, the fact that there, you know, yes, and am I saying that we don't need to repent of our sin? Yes, we do. It's not essential for salvation. We should turn away from, you know, we should turn away from those sins that we struggle with. Because some of you are looking at me like, man, I'm about ready to start stoning him. I'm talking about the fact that in salvation, when you're you know, talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and about them to get saved, they don't need to repent of their sins in order to be saved. It says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If they're believing a false god, that's, you know, where Paul says, yes, they need to repent of that false god, because, or else they're just going to add them on. That's all they're going to do. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says this, and it's very similar to what you see in Acts chapter 17. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And here's the definition of repent right here, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He said, isn't that what repent means, to turn? He says, you turned to God from your idols. That's what the word repent means. Another, this is that, you know, and here's the thing is, that what idols did they turn from? Any idol is a bad one, right? We don't have to sit there and say, because we know that all throughout history, different religions have come about. They all have different names, like Baal and all those other ones. But what's the thing? They're all false gods. And anytime you see Baal or Belial or any of those other ones, that's actually Satan. They're actually worshiping Satan. It's another name for Satan. So if you ever see those ones in Scripture, that's Satan that they're worshiping. But the Pharisees, other religious leaders, and we could all be guilty in trusting in our own works of the law and tradition. That's what the Pharisees and other religions do, is they trust in their works or their traditions to get them saved. And most of the time, in most religions is, and you probably have heard it, I hope that my good works outweigh my bad works. And the thing is that Christianity is the one that's different. Why? Is because it's faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ that gets you saved. Here's another one, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And some will say right there, hey, pastor, right there. It says it right there. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Right there it says it, plain and simple. But remember, we don't want to just isolate a verse. We want to see what the context is. Let's look at verses 14 through 17, and it'll give us the context of what he's talking about in order for this to happen. All right? It says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see now and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Sorry, this one, what ignorance, is similar to what we saw in Acts chapter 17. Why? Because of the fact, you know, it was them trusting in something else. They had denied the Lord, and they said, I'm going to follow whatever I want to follow. So plain and simple, what repentance is, when a person comes to the Lord, is the fact that they're turning away from what they did, and they're following Jesus. That's plain and simple. Repent means to turn away from. It's a turn away from and a turn away to. Oh, sorry, a turn to, not a turn away to. But a turn to. So it's a turn away from to a turn to. And so we see this is that he's telling them to repent of rejecting and denying Christ, to turn from their foolish decision to reject Jesus, just like those who were following idols in chapter 17 of Acts. They were denying the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, it says, in meekness and instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth. Right there, what it's telling, it says that they're repenting or they're turning from something, and they're repenting or turning to something. What are they doing? They're turning away from their old lifestyle, and they're following Jesus. But there's no repenting of sins at all. They're saying, you know what, I'm not going to follow what I used to do. I'm going to follow Jesus now. That's it. It's plain and simple. I mean, and I'm going to get here in a moment, there's actually a cult that actually uses that phrase, repenting of sins, for salvation. And somehow or another, it creeped into the church, and a lot of people, sit there and will keep on teaching it because, you know what, I still see it, people teaching that you need to repent of your sins in order to be saved. Salvation is a lot more simple, like I said, than we give God credit for. We want to say that, okay, you got to get saved, but then you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to become a church member, you got to do all this in order to stay saved. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that we should confess our sins, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that we should confess our sins and that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. It says that he will restore fellowship with us. We are to die daily. The Bible says that we are to die daily to our sin. We are to turn to Jesus Christ, put our faith and trust in him for salvation. There is a difference between fellowship and sonship. And some of these are terms that people don't understand as far as in the church. There's a difference between fellowship. We need fellowship restored, right? Yes. And sonship. Once you are a son, you're always a son. But fellowship can be broken. Does that make sense? That if you sin, what does the Bible say? That he is faithful and just to forgive you over your sin, that the fellowship would be restored, but that doesn't make you not a son. I mean, think about the prodigal son. In that entire story, does he ever say that he's not my son? He just said, my son who was lost is now found. Never in there did he say, that derelict, this person that I don't even want to talk about anymore, yet now all of a sudden he wants to come back and be my son. Never does he say that. He says, my son who was lost is now found. Once you're a son, you're always a son. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 4. It says, then Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. And right there, people say, look right there. But let's keep reading. It says, saying unto the people that they should do what? That they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. That's the baptism of repentance, is that believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he's saying. He said, that's the baptism that he taught. He's saying, you know what? You want to be baptized? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 21, verse 32 says, for John came unto you in the way of what? Righteousness. And ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. What is he telling? He says, the publicans and the harlots believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, while the Pharisees and everyone else did not. Nowhere in there, in this entire, it says that they believed upon what? The way of righteousness. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from the time that Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And some would say, right there it says it. But what is he telling them to do? Who is he talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees should have known the Lord. He told them, search the scriptures, and if you search the scriptures, you'll find me. What does he tell them? You're not searching the scriptures, and you don't know who I am. You should know, but you don't. That's why he's telling them, he says, you're holding on to your laws and your traditions, and he says, you know what, you need to turn from your denial. He said, I'm telling you right here, if you were to search the scriptures, you would know me. You should know me. Why? Because they're supposed to be teaching the Bible to them. It's like a pastor getting up there and supposed to be teaching them the Bible, and Jesus is standing right in front of him, and he tells them to get out of the church. Because what? Pastors, you know, should know. Hopefully they know the Bible, right? They should know the Bible. I'm hoping that if they're up in the pulpit, that they know the Bible. So that way, if Jesus were to walk in, they would go, that's him. Instead of going, nope, get out of here. We don't want you here. But that's exactly what the Pharisees did. And the Sadducees and the other religious leaders. He was standing right in front of them. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because they didn't believe the gospel. He wants them to turn from their false belief, their false religion, their false doctrine. They should have known. He's talking to the Pharisees yet again and the religious leaders. They should have known. He's telling them, you know what? You should have known. He says, you know what? You need to turn away from what you're following, that false belief, that false doctrine, that false religion, and follow me. He's like, I'm standing right in front of you. Here's the thing. As I said earlier, the term repent of your sins never is used in the entire Bible. It's not. As I said before, should you after you're saved? Yes, you should repent of those sins, those things that, you know, that way God can, you know, help you with those things. But here's the thing. I'm gonna put a little bit more in context for you. In John chapter 20, verse 31, we see the point of the reason why he wrote that gospel. John is the only gospel written to the unsaved to get them saved. Do you know that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're writing to those that should know the gospel, that should have known the scriptures. But John is the only one that it is written to the unsaved to get them saved. And what's the purpose of the book? But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye may have life through his name. How many times is the word repent used in the Gospel of John? Zero. If that is a book that is supposed to teach somebody how to get saved, why isn't that word in there? If that's supposed to be written to the unsaved so they can get saved, why is repent never used in the entire thing? But over 100 times it says believe, believe, believe. There's 21 chapters in the book of John, and there's 100 times in the Gospel of John where it says believe. And it shows how to get saved. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's so many, John 5:47, you know, John 6:47. All these ones say, you know what? Believe on me that you may have everlasting life. It never says repent of your sins and then you can have eternal life. It never says it. Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance what? Toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, turn to God, put your faith in him. That's all he's saying. Acts chapter 14, verse 15, and saying, sirs, what do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all these things that are in. I'm trying to be as thorough as I can, but I know that obviously, if I'm as thorough as I should be, we'd be here probably until about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18 says, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." And inherit an inheritance among which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He's telling them to turn them, to get them away from. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. How be it then, when ye know not, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. So what's happening here? They're turning back to other gods. It says, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? He's saying that the Galatians gave their life to the Lord. They believed upon him. They followed him. And what are they doing now? They're all of a sudden wanting, even though that they're saved, they're wanting to follow false gods. And how do we know that, you know, the fact of repenting of our sins is a, well, for one thing, I mean, Jonah 3:10 says this. It says, and God saw their works, comma. What are their works? That they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do, that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. When we come to God and we say, God, look at how awesome I am. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm doing all those. I'm doing all these wonderful things. What does the Bible say about that? He said, the Bible says that our works are as what? Filthy rags. Right there in Jonah 3:10, it says that God saw their works, and he explains this as that they turn from their evil way. Should we turn from our evil way? Yes, after we're saved. But that's not in order to get you saved. It's believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I've heard people say, you know what, this person is supposed to be saved, so they're supposed to be stop smoking. Or they should stop swearing. Should you stop those things? Yes. You know, but that's not essential for your salvation. Not to, you know, it baffles me how people will couple all that. It's almost like people said, you know what, we're going to add that part of repent of your sins in order to keep people in church, to keep them scared. Because how many in here are perfect? You better put that hand down, David. Nobody is in here is perfect. No, not one, right? That's what the Bible teaches. And if we are, you know, to keep on, you know, we have to sit there and keep on repenting of our sins to keep our salvation, we're never going to keep it because we're never going to be perfect. Why? Because there's always going to be, while we're here, we don't have that perfect body, right? I expected a bigger amen on the one. I want to get an amen on the one because I know I don't have a perfect body. I know I don't. But while we're here on earth, yes, you know, the thing is that as we get to know the Lord, we're going to realize those things that are not right, and we're going to repent of those things, right? But does that mean that we're going to stop sinning? The only way we do is when we die and we go be with the Lord. That does not give us a license to sin. It's not all of a sudden like I have a driver's license. You go, hey, look at this, guys. I got a license to sin. I can do whatever I want now. I can go sin as best as I want to, like a driver's license or something. No. The Bible even says that. It says, God forbid that you would, you know, that you would have that license. But we are to put our full faith in Jesus Christ and not trust in our works to save us. Works are anything that we can do and take credit for. Like, I'm a good person. I go to church. I teach Sunday school. I'm an usher. I'm a deacon. I read my Bible. Now, I'm not saying that our deacons are bad people, just so you know, I'm just saying. But because they're deacons, that doesn't mean that they're saved. You could have deacons at a church, and they're not saved. Does that sound, that sounds odd, right? It should be, because you would think that somebody's in a leadership position should be saved, right? They better be saved. I'm glad that we have five deacons that are saved. I read my Bible every day. I teach the children. You know, I quit smoking. I quit, you know, fornication. I quit swearing. We can go on forever. I mean, should we do those things? Should we quit, you know, smoking and fornicating? And should we go to church and, you know, be an usher? Yes, we should do those things. But they will not get us into heaven. They will not save you. Should we repent from sins? Yes. But it will not get you into heaven. They will not save you. Grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ is what saves you. That's it. What is it? Let's look up Ephesians 2, 8, 9, just to bring it back to our memories, if we have forgot it. That would not have been the right verse. I was in Galatians, not Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by what? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That is it. We should repent of our sins, but it won't get us there. It's only grace through faith alone, and Jesus Christ is what saves us. The Bible does say, for those who are saved should repent of their wickedness and sin to die daily. We should get up in the morning. As I heard some people say, I get up in the morning and I hit my knees. Because why? Because you know what? We need to die daily. Jesus did everything in order to for us to receive the free gift of salvation. We need to believe upon him and in his finished work upon the cross. That's it. What Jesus did, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's how we're saved. Now, I want to leave you with this part. I mentioned to you earlier that there's a false religion, there's a cult out there, the Mormons, that uses that exact term, that exact phrase, repent of your sins in order to receive salvation. And if you didn't know, Mormons are also racist, too. You say, well, no, they're not. Yes, they are. I'll show you here in a moment. I'm going to read verses out of the Book of Mormon. Like, this is a church. Why am I going to do this? No, I want you to hear it. This is in Mosiah chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe these things, see that ye do them." He's telling you that that's how you get, you know, salvation. All those, it's not only even the fact of repenting of your sins, it's forsaking them, it's humbling yourself before God, it's sincerity in your heart, forgive, and believe. I mean, you're adding a whole bunch of things on there. The next one is in Alma, chapter 7, verse 15. I'm sorry, I'm not really versed in the false books of Mormonism. It says, "Yea, I say unto you, you come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which so easily beset you." Does this sound like scripture? There's a verse in there that does. They will manipulate and twist verses. "Which doth bind you to destruction, yea, come and go forth, and show yourself to God that ye are willing, that you are willing to repent of your sins, and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and witness it unto him this day, by going into the waters of baptism." They're even teaching that you need to be baptized to be saved. This is the next one is 3 Nephi, chapter 9, verse 13. These are awesome names, I'm telling you right now. It says, "Oh, and all ye that are spared, because ye are more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me, and repent of your sins, and be converted, that I may heal you." This is the racist verse, this next one. And it talks about repenting of your sins in order to be saved. This is Jacob chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Oh, my brethren, I fear that unless ye shall repent of your sins, that their skins will be whiter than yours when ye shall be brought with them before the throne of God." They teach in this verse that you must repent of your sins, and that as you do this, your skin will get whiter. And they think the fact that if a person has dark skin, they have more sin. How wicked is that? How horrible is that? And they're teaching this false doctrine that you must repent of your sins in order to be saved, and that if you don't, that you're going to have darker skin. Must think in the summer when everybody gets a tan because it's warm outside. But that if you start repenting of your sins and you get closer to God, you're going to be whiter. Just so you know, Joseph Smith, the one that founded Mormonism, yeah, he was racist. And also all the other ones in this false religion. Can you see this is the thing is that we hear this teaching all the time that you must repent of your sins to be saved. No. You need to repent of your sins after you're saved. You need to repent, you need to turn to God first. Put your faith and trust in him, right? Then you can repent of your sins and the other things. You see how people have slowly muddied the water and brought that in, that false teaching? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is so clear and direct, that when we look at the context of what your word says, that we will, you know, that we can see the truth is clearly conveyed through Scripture. And Lord, and we can see how all these other false religions out there teach this doctrine that in order to be saved, that they have to repent of all their sins, knowing that no one is perfect, no, not one. But we know that if we have sinned, your word says that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, that fellowship is restored. God, we thank you that once we are a son, we are a son. And God, we thank you for this, and we ask, Lord, that as you have brought everyone here safely, we ask that you would take them home safely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What we're going to do now is that, this service is concluded, but what we're going to do now is we're going to get ready for the one that wanted to get baptized in water, so we're going to go head on outside. We got the water all ready and everything else. The sad thing is, it's probably better if it would have been cold water, but now it's probably hot like a bathtub, and it's already like 90-some degrees outside. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to meet under the awning, and we're going to have one saved. We're going to have one baptized. Wow. Have one baptized this morning, and if you are interested in getting water baptized, please let me know, and we can.